This is the BBC Light Programme. We present the All-Leather Goon Show. For the benefit of listeners who are listening, we present the Plasticine Man. The curtain rises on a window, revealing the waiting room of the East Penge Labour Exchange. On a crude wooden bench sit two crude wooden men.
Oh, what? Great pipe. I don't like it. I don't like it a bit.
Well, spit it out then.
Quack through. What are we doing in this labor exchange?
We're going to sign on and draw the moolah.
Ouch! What if they find us? Work!
That is a risk we have to take. Shut up, you fool. Do you want to get arrested for committing a public... That's quite all right. Accidents will happen, Nuna.
Is this the cue for signing on?
Yes, it is indeed. Moriarty, make room for the ragged gentleman.
Thank you.
The owner of the voice with a high stiff collar clad in well-cut string.
Yes, and the flies buzzing in this cloud of steam belong to none other than Count Jim Gums, Moriarty. Known porridge dancer and 3 times world trousers champion. Hear those lilting strains. Strain again, Moriarty. So, little tattered man, you're in the unemployment lark as well, are you?
Well, no, I'm in show business.
Well, same thing, really.
Actually, I rock and roll.
You're the right shape for it, too.
Yes, but I can't get engagements.
Strange. Have you a gimmick?
Certainly. Match?
Thank God.
Yes, I sing and play the saxophone at the same time.
Really? Then you play the saxophone by ear?
I play the saxophone by mouth. And sing through my ear.
Pure genius. And you can't get work, you say?
No. I've tried, but people won't look at me.
Well, it isn't easy, is it? Moriarty, fry that sound effect. We'll have it for breakfast. Now, Lily, my friend here happens to be a highly esteemed publicity agent.
Oh, the steaming publicity, ow.
You stop flashing your teeth and put them back in your pocket, can't. Aloud. Neddy, to be a star, you must be discovered, and we can arrange it for you.
You can? How?
Quite simple. Listen to this 9 o'clock type news.
American archaeologists digging at Stonehenge have discovered the skeleton of a Stone Age dustbin. They are continuing their excavations.
You see, Neddy, you want to be discovered, so we take you to Stonehenge and bury you.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Why didn't I think of that?
Because you're an idiot.
Of course. Right, let's go.
Meanwhile, at the British Museum, Britain's leading archaeologists were holding a conference.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, grave news. Those Americans digging at Stonehenge have now discovered the bones of a genuine Stonehenge naffy bun.
I don't know why I don't.
Well, gentlemen, I happened to be hiding under your table and heard what you were saying through your open leg.
Oh, Jim. A knee-hole peeper.
It's not on the mind. I have the complete answer, we think, to your problem. We can show you the exact spot at Stonehenge where lies buried a perfect specimen of a man of the Pleistocene period.
We must go to Stonehenge at once.
He won't last a journey, Jim.
No need, sir. To save you the journey, we have bought Stonehenge here. Moriarty, unwrap the parcel. There, gentlemen, Stonehenge.
Oh, Jim, but where do we dig? Where do we dig?
In your pockets. For a small fee of 10,000 small pounds. I thank you. Now, gentlemen, you will find the Pleistocene man beneath the tombstone marked Pleistocene man. Goodbye to you.
Quick, Jim, get the shovel.
Get to dig this crazy fluky man. Matt Otley's Gilroy.
That, of course, was my impression of an audience applauding. Next, an impression of the Pleistocene Man, Part 2. The archaeologists continued digging until finally they unearthed Neddy Seagoon, alias the Pleistocene Man. With tender care, they lifted him out and laid him on the table.
Without any doubt, this body is that of a man of the Pleistocene period.
Oh, and beautifully preserved, considering he's 6,000 years old.
He's quite incredible. He's so well preserved, he's still alive.
I say, what's this? What's this ancient weapon he's holding?
It's my saxophone. I'm a rock and roll saxophoner.
A real gun guy in a rock, salmon and peas. Hound dog, don't rock the rock, yeah. I'm crazy, man, crazy. I'm cool.
If only we understood his strange prehistoric language.
Yes, suppose we did.
Hey, no, wait. Listen.
What is it, Sir Mortimer?
I think we've been done. Dear, this ain't the body of a man. It's the body of an ape.
An ape?
His eye, gentlemen, observes the monkey-shaped skull and the long arms. They reach the ground.
Ah, but his legs don't. Anyway, he is wearing an evening dress.
So, he was buried after dinner.
Now, look here. I'm not a prehistoric man. I'm Eddie Seagun. You hear? Eddie Seagun. Seagun. S-E-A-N. I'm Eddie Seagun.
You know, I think he's trying to tell us something.
6,000 years old, man. Oh, at his age, he must stop him decomposing. It's imperative that we stop him decomposing in this condition. More imperative, don't you see? Understand? Must understand. We must decomposing. You understand that, Mr. Lalkaka?
I was not being attentive to what you were saying.
You understand?
I am listening.
You are understanding me, Mr. Lalkaka.
I am understanding everything.
Not important. And I'm saying on line 6 that he is decomposing in the European type cantonment way. You understand?
Good luck to him. Good luck to him.
I stand aside for your next line, sir.
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. I think he's going off already.
There he goes.
I have an idea. I will preserve him in pure alcohol.
What?
Now hold him down. Put this funnel in his mouth. Pass me that 5-gallon jar of alcohol.
Taking precaution now. Pouring it.
Well, yeah. I think that will keep him in a lovely condition.
Well, time I was going.
Okay, stop him.
Stand back. Mind on him. You can't afford him.
Get out of my way.
Now, look here.
Oh, man, he's escaped the man.
That night, the mighty presses of Fleet Street churned out special headlines.
Prehistoric monster escapes.
Drink mad ape at large.
Police hunt thing from Stone Age.
Monster and I are just good friends, says Diana Dawes.
That night, in a slum alley off Park Lane, a constable patrols his feet.
Maybe it's because I'm a lunatic that I love Dixon so. Hello. Who's this kipping in the gutter here? Wake up. Can't you read that notice, mate? No kipping this side on even dates.
Oh, my head.
Your head, your breath. You've been belting the booze a bit, ain't you, mate? Oh, I got a good mind to arrest you for impersonating a newt.
Constable, it wasn't my fault. Some men forced alcohol down my throat.
Cool. Yeah, do you think they forced some down mine? Where did this happen, then?
At the British Museum.
I didn't know they had a license, mate. I'll have to get that. Wait a minute. And I see the picture of your name in the papers.
Me? No, it wasn't me. My grandmother keeps a duck farm in Kent, I tell you, with Muriel Plimms.
I know.
With teeth.
You're the prehistoric monster. The plastered scene man.
No.
Here, come back, plastered scene man.
Oh, folks, a picture of my name in the papers. I shall be recognized. I must get to a professional disguise and at once.
Help, men.
Henry? Yes, Henry?
Help, Min.
Where are you, Henry?
I'm in the grandfather clock, Min.
What are you doing in there, Henry?
Trying to get out, Modern Min.
No.
And get out of my legs and pull.
Well, stop dancing the modern rumba then, buddy.
I'm not dancing the rumba, Min. I've got a pendulum stuck down my trousers, Min.
Dear. Oh, dear. Then I'm afraid, Henry. I don't know how to turn your back, Henry. Turn your back while I say this line.
What?
I'll have to take your trousers off.
No, not in front of a lady. Oh. I'll have to leave the room first.
All right, no. Henry. All right.
He's gone. Now you can take them off.
Okay, buddy. Now, one. Henry, you deceitful man. You wear long leather underpants. Thank you.
I have to wear them in. You know I've got the weak knees. Get me out of this modern clock, Min.
Now, hold still, ready? Hold still now, Henry. Oh,
that's better.
Excuse me. Is this Mr. Cron's house?
It is, yes.
Good. Then I'll knock.
I wonder who that is.
Change my mind.
Good evening. Mr. Cron, the disguise expert?
Yes.
I want a new face.
I see. Where did you get the face you're wearing now?
It is a present from my parents.
He doesn't fit you very well, does he? You're all baggy at the knees.
Henry. What? The dog wants to come in.
Not a dog. Always forgetting his keys. All right, come in, Psycho.
Psycho?
Yes, he's a pet mad dog, you know. Come in, you naughty Psycho.
Woof, woof.
Where have you been, you mad dog? You?
Out in the midday sun. He talks.
I told you he was mad.
But dogs can't talk.
I know, I've told him, but he never listens. May as well talk to a brick wall, you know.
Yes, but what about my disguise?
Yes, well, now glue this false moustache to your ear and swallow this blue serge beer. Screw this wooden leg onto your head and now step into this grandfather clock.
Right. How do I look?
Exactly like a grandfather clock. Nice, sir. Min, come on, we'll be late for the sinful lanterns light.
Whoopee, I'll get my warm football boots ready.
Right, Moriarty, put that grandfather clock on the lorry.
Right.
Now, get the lorry on your head. Now, let's go.
While those two villains return Seagoon to the British Museum and claim the reward, here is a horsehair statue of a bus conductor listening to Ray Ellington. The Plasticine Man, Part 3. To prevent Sigun again escaping from the British Museum, he was taken to the National Gallery, where he was framed and hung on the wall. And here, after dark, we discover two night watchmen on their rounds.
Professor Eccles?
Yeah, Bottle?
You know them Greek statues are nudists, what we just passed?
Oh.
But what happened in the autumn when the leaves began to fall?
Well, the park keeper sweeps them up with his broom, I suppose.
Ah, didn't it tickle?
No, I wasn't wearing one. Oh, no, a statue. Oh, a statue can't feel a tickle.
You mean I've been wasting my time?
You're not a bottle.
Well.
I wondered why all your fingers were bandaged.
Oh. Look at that naughty painting. Venus bathing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Venus bathing.
Venus bathing. He's a good-looking fellow, isn't he? Nice and strong.
You stupid nit. That's what he's called, a lady.
Oh. Well, I don't think it's fair when they got no clothes on. How can you tell?
You're a stupid man, you.
Oh.
You, it's quite easy. The one with girls' names are ladies.
Oh, your daddy must have had a talk with you then.
He did.
Ah. I see.
Eccles?
Hey, a bottle. Your voice had dropped.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's going back up again.
No, it was me.
Oh, hello. That picture spoke.
What, this one? The Plasticine Man.
Yes. Listen, you must help me escape.
Oh, no. That's our job, to stop pictures escaping.
Yes, it is our duty for Queen and Country.
Right.
Springs to attention. Springs! Runs Union Jack up leg. Plays last post on plastic cut-up bugle.
Silence, you little jam-stained soldier. Let me out and I'll give you £5.
No.
£10.
Never.
A quarter of jelly babies.
Every man has his price. I cannot resist. Mavis Trills, here I come. Takes jelly babies and pops little girl in dinner hole.
Now get me out of this frame.
Okay.
Thank heavens. Now, where's the exit?
Behind that door marked way out.
Good! What a cunning place to hide it. Once free, I decided to give up my dreams of fame and fortune and get an ordinary job. But the man at the Labour Exchange said...
Well, you're a cheeky one. 6,000 years old and you want a job? You get out of here, you plasticine deaf, or I'll set my pussy on you.
Meow.
Thank you, Walter Greenslade. Tomahawks! Tomahawks! I had to prove my real age and identity. Now, who can prove... But of course, of course, the very man, my old commanding officer.
Manners, manners, manners.
Did you call me, sir?
Aye, there you are, manners.
Yes, sir.
Switch on my reading trousers and pass me that book in the plain wrapper, will you?
Right.
Ah. Where did I get to? Ah, yes, yes, yes. The first time that Lady Chatterley saw the gamekeeper, he went in the house. What? Forget me nots. Wonder she didn't catch a death of cold. Oh, disgusting. I don't know why people like me are allowed to smuggle books like this in from Paris. I never knew, I never knew.
Major! Ah!
Wait, wait a moment. Psst, psst. Psst, psst. Psst, psst. Wait, wait a moment. Aren't you Tubby Seagull, me old Batman, who risked his life under fire to drag me to safety?
Yes!
Well, you owe me a quid.
What for?
You tore the back of my uniform.
Suit you. Major, everybody thinks I'm the Brassicine man, and I can't get a job because I'm 6,000 years old.
What? Then how did you get in the army?
I lied about my height.
Yeah, just a moment, though. Let me see now, 6,000, that means they owe him 5,009 years old age pension. Yes. Nibby, I tell you what, I'll change names with you.
You will? Thank you.
Just make your mark here.
Right. There.
You filthy swine.
Excuse me, sir. I'm from the Ministry of Pensions.
Serves
you right. Which one of you is the Plasticine Mon?
I am.
Then I arrest you for not stamping your cards for 5,000 years.
Well, that's one way to end the story. But for listeners who don't like dull endings, here's an exciting finish.
How about you? How about you,
Billy? What the valet? By my Sparnard.
Take
that, you swine. Dead.
Drop me.
Adam. They call it
in the water. Well, take your pick. It's all in the mind, you know. That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Seacombe and Spike Milligan, with the Rainiger Quartet, Max Geldray, and the orchestra conducted by Wally Stott. Script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens. Announcer, Wally Skeeslade. The program produced by Roy Spear.